This is the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy, 2020, Episode 8. Dr. Rob just informed me that at this time yesterday, and we were recording at 3 o'clock Central Standard Time on Sunday, September 20th, that he was floating in the Gulf of Mexico. Now he's sitting in my basement getting ready to record another Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy, and he already has a beer in hand. We are going with a Grand Le Monde Barreled Age American Wild Ale with Merlot grapes. It's a sour. It was brewed in 2018, Rob, and that son of a bitch is crisp.
That is tasty. That is a good beer. It's got a very... I mean, it's got the sour, but I mean, it's very crisp. I mean, and I say that in the sense that it's very easy drinking. Sometimes those sours can almost be too sour.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I'm going to tweet out a picture of it later, and I'll do it on the Husker Doc Talk podcast Twitter page or your Twitter page, and people are going to think we're drinking wine. They're going to call us little sissies or something like that. But this is a good beer. It's
that's definitely not wine.
You know, everybody thinks their beer has to be like this yellow color, and that's not necessarily the case. This is
like Busch Light.
I mean, this looks like grape juice almost.
It does. If the way I kind of describe it, if you're not a sour person, you take like a good West Coast, like a really high IBU IPA. This is the other end of the spectrum.
There are zero IBUs in here.
No, I know. This is completely at the other end of the spectrum. And even chemically, I mean, IPAs, they're really alkaline. Sours, really acidic.
You know, you brought up the chemistry part of it. How good of chemists are like brewers? They got to know their shit, don't they?
Oh, see, that's the thing that I love about beer as opposed to wine. Wine, okay, you put grape juice in a bottle, you let it get old. There's like nothing to it. You got to be a hell of a chemist. Like anybody who's doing beer, those guys are all really good chemists. Same thing with great cooks, great brewers. It's all chemistry.
You brought up wine, and I'm going to go ahead and plug this. But if anybody's interested, you can join me on October 16th at the District Loft in Benson as my website, TotalTuscany.com, is bringing in a wine connoisseur from Tuscany. He's coming in from Florence, Italy, Rob. He's going to represent Colle Barreto, which is a small little organic vineyard outside of Rada in Chianti. We're going to be tasting four different wines, and I've teamed up with Abraham Catering to put on
I saw you had the Total Tuscany tweet out there about that with Abraham. That's going to be really cool.
It is. It's $100 a head. You get four different wines, and each wine... The lowest cost bottle is like $35. The highest dollar bottle is like $85 to $95. And these are high dollar wines. And you can't find the nice thing is you can't go to Hy-Vee, you can't go to Spirit World, you can't go to some wine store in Omaha and get these wines. I mean, the wine we are getting is being shipped in from Italy just for this event.
Okay, that's cool.
So, yeah. So
look at you getting all exclusive.
Well, you know, because...
If you can't go to Italy, you're going to bring Italy here.
And that's kind of my plan. So go to TotalTuscany.com if you are interested and want to join us in Benson on Friday night, October 16th. I'd ask Rob, but I know he's got a high school football game that night probably on the 16th. It's Friday, so I'm just assuming...
Wait, October 16th?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I'd have to look at the calendar.
When do you guys play Grand Island? Because that pissing match is still going on.
That's coming up this Friday. So yeah, they've gone radio silent.
Completely radio silent.
Yeah, it's which in all honesty, my wife made a good point. She said myself and a number of other people on Twitter have kind of backed them into a corner a little bit here in the sense that if they acquiesce and open up and allow visiting fans, they've basically admitted, hey, anytime you don't like something that the school board's done, just bitch and moan on social media a bunch and eventually we'll let go. Which my argument back to my wife was that my intent was never, I mean, hopefully it was to get opposing fans to be able to go into the stadium because I think there's safe ways to do it. I thought it was a poor decision to begin with. My biggest complaint about it, which if you're just listening, Grand Island High School, Grand Island Public, institute a policy of zero visiting fans. So when you're looking at all the other districts around the state that are now opening up, they've remained 100% closed for visiting fans. Now, I'd be okay with it if not for the fact that they fully and very openly allow their own fans to travel to other sites for games. So their own. So when Grand Island's the away team, Grand Island High School fully allows their own fans to travel. So apparently Grand Island, if you're from Grand Island, it is not possible for you to catch COVID going someplace else.
Did I see somebody, one of your friends on Twitter, he's a West Side parent. I think they said that, you know, the Nebraska High School Athletic Association does not allow noisemakers at sporting events. So since you're going to be out of the parking lot, you are going to bring noisemakers.
Yeah, technically, we are not in violation of NSAA rules. Yeah, we can bring air horns and anything you want.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would love to see it.
Like I said, if Grand Island just restricted their own fans from travel, I'd shut the hell up.
Yeah.
But they won't.
Yeah.
So,
you know, we'll get into your trip to Florida and to see your daughter in a little bit. But it was interesting because when the Big Ten announced that they were going to bring back football, you and I thought about recording. And for some reason I said, you know, we're going to do it that night. And I'm like, what I'd like to try to time our podcast around is the news cycle. I don't want it to get lost in the rest of the noise. And what I mean by that is if everybody else is going to be pushing out content that day, I don't want our content to go to the same time everybody else's is.
Oh, because, totally agree.
Because then you're fighting the content war. You know, it turns out that we made the right decision not to go right after because the schedule comes out, and now everybody's bitching about it. Or some people are. You're not. And I saw Mitch Crank put out a tweet earlier, a Facebook post, I think Jason Peter did, about, listen, you're playing Ohio State, you're playing Wisconsin, you're playing Northwestern, Penn State, Illinois, Iowa, Purdue, Minnesota. The only reason people are bitching is because Bill Moose bitched.
He did, although I didn't think it was that egregious.
No, I think they probably asked him, hey, in the scheduling process, what were you thinking? He said, I wanted this, this, and this, and I'm 0-3.
Yeah, and that was it.
Yeah.
But you got to keep in mind, too, that Scott Frost said, hey, we'd love to play football this fall. In all the national media was Scott, and they're still saying it. Scott Frost advocates for Nebraska leaving the Big Ten conference.
Yeah, you know, I got mad because friends of mine who in Des Moines actually said the same thing again yesterday, and I wanted to call them and say, "Are you doing it to be sarcastic and funny, or do you really think that? Because that's not true."
I mean, it's not.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say half the Big Ten. I mean, I think most of Nebraska's griping. I saw. SB Nation for Indiana hopped online and they had some tweet out there.
They said this just in, 8 Nebraska football players file lawsuit against the
schedule.
That's kind of funny though, isn't
it? Okay, it's kind of funny. It's kind of who it's coming from. I'm like, really? And I get it. We lost to Indiana last year. But it's sort of like, you know what, cool your jets. Wait till basketball season, guys.
So before we dive into the schedule, because we'll start at the beginning, that is the start of the Big Ten football season, which now will start on October 24th. Rob, I'm glad they're playing football. I've watched the Big 12 the last couple of weeks. I've watched the ACC the last couple of weeks. The SEC starts next Saturday, or actually this coming Saturday based on when we're recording. There's just no margin of error here for the Big Ten because it's 8 straight weeks. And if you look at the COVID restrictions they have, some of those teams are going to have to postpone games.
There's going to be postponements or cancellations. Yep. And I got that from the get-go. I mean, going back to when they talked about, hey, we're going to do this back in August. They released the schedule in August. At that time, I never thought there wouldn't be a cancellation.
Neither did I.
But that was part of my gripe about the whole, I didn't like the way the Big Ten did this for the reason that it would have been very easy for them to say, one, hey, let's just kind of take this a little slow and stepwise. Let's delay things a few weeks here and just see what happens with advances in testing. What are COVID numbers looking like? What's happening across the nation with kind of what I had previously referred to as the test cases out there. How's high school football going? How are small colleges doing that are like NAIA's playing? some of these leagues like Sun Belt and Big 12 that fired up right off the bat. How are they doing? How are things going? I wouldn't have had a problem if the Big Ten said, hey, we're going to do a very deliberate approach here, and we're not canceling the season, but we are going to delay it for a few weeks to a month here and then kind of reevaluate. And I don't think they would have gotten half the pushback that they did. I think people would have been like, okay, you know what, I don't like it, but I have a hard time arguing against it. When they just canceled it, that just kind of sent, it was one of those, well, it almost makes it look worse now that they've come back and restarted again. Because you could have just said, hey, let's just be really, really cautious here and take a little time and see how things go for a few weeks, and then we're going to reevaluate. They didn't do that.
Well, that's the arrogance of the Big Ten, right? They fully thought everybody would fall in line.
And
with
that
them.
Was why they didn't do it that way. I totally agree. And I think that's bullshit. Anyway, there's my take.
Yeah, I mean, it was this, and we've talked about this, and we're not going to rehash it, but that's what the Big 12 has been doing, the ACC and the SEC, is you have built-in weeks now for postponements to go make games
yeah,
up.
Yeah, now you've kind of get backed yourself into a bit of a corner here by not doing it that way.
Yeah, and you could still play a season, and you could still end on December 19th or 20th, but the truth is there does come a magic number of games where you're going to be taken seriously or not for the college football playoff. And really, probably the only team that's...
And you've got to be timed to be in the playoff as well. You can't lose three or four games and then say, hey, we're going to try and make up 3 weeks at the end of the season.
No, and that's what I mean. If Ohio State all of a sudden has... And let's look at this. Ohio State may not have anybody on its team test positive for COVID, but it may have three of its opponents say, hey, we're over the 5% threshold. We're done. We can't. Ohio State loses three of its games. It's not. I don't think with five games they're eligible for the college football playoff.
It'd be tough.
It would be.
But that's going to be up to the committee to decide, I guess, if they're going to set a minimum number there. I mean, what if those?
Do you think there should be a minimum number?
Well, what if those? Maybe. I guess I could. Looking at it, what if the five games Ohio State plays, and I'd have to look at their schedule. I don't know it off the top of my head, but let's say Ohio State beats Michigan, Penn State.
Well, hold on. You want to know what schedule?
Okay.
Nebraska, Penn State. Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan State, and Michigan.
Well, yeah, it's not the easiest. It would have been more interesting to see, like, yeah, how
about – Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana, Illinois in the middle there.
They don't play Iowa?
Don't play Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of the Ohio State corollary schedule would have been their own slate, but the cross-divisional games being Wisconsin and Iowa,
yeah.
Basically. So, or Minnesota. Now, Minnesota's going to come down a couple notches with some of the guys that went pro, but it'd be more interesting if Ohio State had a run of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa stuck in there.
Your new favorite person, Christine Brennan from the USA Today, called the announcement.
Hates
she hates your guts. She blocked you on Twitter.
And it was immediate. Like, all I did was I retweeted her, the article. Not her specifically, but I retweeted the article with a WTF and boom, block.
Yeah, to me, that's cowardice, right? I mean, if you... I've blocked a couple people on Twitter, but I also understand if I'm going to throw bombs on this podcast, if I'm going to throw bombs on my radio show, then I got to expect that bombs are going to get thrown back at me.
The only people I have ever blocked on Twitter, it's when you kind of see like an out of the blue, like so-and-so liked your tweet, and you go and look and you're like, I tweeted this 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And it's always female. And then you go to their Twitter page and it's some like porn site or something. Like, that's the only people I ever block are those.
But Christine Brennan called it the darkest day in Big Ten history.
You think she believes that, or was this just truly a, well, you know what, I need to drive some viewers to the page here.
I mean, she laid out an argument, but it still doesn't make it a darker day than Larry Nassar.
Yeah, I read the article, and that had to have been the weakest written, most poorly argued stance I have ever heard. I mean, you could almost hear her sitting there thinking to herself, like, oh, my God, this is going to be an impossible argument to make.
Then why take the argument? I mean, if you don't...
Clickbait. It's either that or, you know what, we kind of waffle, or at least I do on the whole, is this political or is it not political? And you kind of start wondering, okay, well, is this a political stance for her where she's sitting here saying the fact that the Big Ten did this is solely 100% a right-wing Trump maneuver? So is it a political argument on her point?
I got news for everybody. And I don't care where you fall on the political spectrum. I don't think President Trump had anything to do with this. The reason the Big Ten is playing is because the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC are playing. That's just a fact in the matter.
Well, it is. I also think... I think a big part of it is because there was pressure put on the Big Ten by its schools to some of the schools to move forward and do this. I mean, the lawsuits from Nebraska, you can crack all the jokes you want about them. Nobody had any true desire to actually litigate and get to the end point of those lawsuits. They were 100% designed to keep a spotlight on the Big Ten, keep them sweating, and force them to make a decision sooner than later.
The brilliant move I liked the most was the Attorney General's Nonprofit Corporation Act thing. I go, that is. I don't think it was going to go anywhere, but it was. This is brilliant.
But it kept it in the news. Because it's. I think the Big Ten, one of their biggest goals here with all of this was to have people just kind of go Pac-12 on them and kind of forget that they even exist.
Yeah.
I think that's what they were hoping would happen. Once the other schools were moving forward and playing, I think the Big Ten truly was sitting there going, well, maybe this will just go away. People calm down. People quit talking about this. This will fall out of the media, and we won't have to deal with it. And then it was lawsuit, then another lawsuit. Then Jim Harbaugh's marching with the Michigan players to the president's. I remember if it was the president's residence or the offices of the president on the Michigan campus. But you had all of these maneuvers by different groups at different schools to try and keep this in the media and keep that pressure on the Big Ten to move forward. I think a lot of that pressure had a lot to do with it. Here's the thing. You remove that pressure. Nebraska coaches, players, parents do nothing. Iowa parents do nothing.
Ohio State
went to town on multiple fronts as well. And again, Michigan, the university, the administration, and I think the politicians within that state were hard set against football playing. But I think, you know what, as much as you want to bag on Harbaugh, and the guy drives me nuts, I bag on him a ton, Harbaugh and the Michigan players wanted to play.
Yeah.
They very much wanted this season. And kudos to them, because that was one of the things, again, when you had Harbaugh and the Michigan players kind of standing up to their own administration and their own president saying, this is bullshit, we want to play, that puts pressure on the Big Ten to make a move. You remove all of that, the Big Ten's just going to sit there. Nothing happens. I understand the ACC's playing, the Big 12's playing, several other conferences are playing. You got Arkansas State and Army are all of a sudden America's favorite football teams. But I think the Big Ten would have been perfectly happy just sitting there watching everybody else play, as long as that pressure wasn't coming from all of those different factions.
Yeah, and you're probably right, but also realizing that, you know, they're going to play a college football playoff, they're going to go through with a season like this,
and the optics are bad if you're not taking part in it, if they're able to pull it off to some degree. Yeah. And like I said, there's going to be cancellations. You're going to lose games. You're losing them at the high school level. But I think...
Not horribly, though, are you?
No, they're still at... My understanding is over 90% of scheduled games have been played up to this point. And this coming up week will be week 5 of the regular season. So,
but the deal with coming back is that the Big Ten, it was like, okay, you all want football back. here's what we're going to do, and you have to go along with it. You got to start on the 24th of October. You have to agree that anything above 5% of your team at a positive rate forces a week quarantine for sure. 7.5% of the population, which is team and then staff, would force a quarantine. Let's use Kansas State for an example. They had, what, 23 the other day? That floors any Big Ten team.
Yeah, it
so,
does.
I mean, it's like, sure, you can have football back, but we're going to make it so difficult for you. Good luck trying to get games in.
Well, that, and then when you look at no attendance, I mean, there was all these stipulations that you could tell there was a lot of acquiescence to the schools that were dead set against this. And I think that was the whole, hey, let's there was kind of this discussion of, hey, the Big Ten wants all schools to play. And then you had a lot of the individual schools, and at least from a fan standpoint, say, you know what, screw it. We don't need Rutgers and Maryland. Let's play a seven or eight game schedule against the teams that want to play, and the ones that don't, screw them. But I think they told those teams, you have to play. If we do this, you got to do it. Here's the concessions we're going to grant. And I think that's what the concessions were.
So you are also going to have, what, mandatory MRIs for myocarditis. Where do you go get an MRI machine for that? Can any MRI machine do that, or is it a special one?
No, you can, but, I mean, it takes some dedicated understanding in terms of reading it out.
Are they doing that for all athletes or all athletes that have tested positive?
I believe it's all athletes that have tested positive. And if you test positive, I believe it's a 21-day
it is.
Time period that you have to sit out. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fear over the myocarditis.
So you've got the MRI in there, which they said it was a special MRI machine. Is that true or not true? Does any MRI machine do that?
I got to be honest, I'd have to look at it. But, I mean, my understanding is that I think any major university academic medical center, which is everybody in the Big Ten has one, is going to have the capability to do that. If it's not everybody, it's going to be darn near everybody.
Then you have what the daily testing that you have to test and have it logged before what practice and games. Now, is the test really that much better? Is it that much more reliable, or is it just because it's rapid?
Both. So it is very rapid. It's your 5 to 15 minutes.
Okay.
The other thing is that some of the early studies that are looking at, so you've had enough testing going on. You've got what's called a control, which is basically hey, what are we comparing this test to? So you kind of need another test that you know is probably fairly accurate to compare it to, and that's called the control. So far, this test, compared to the controls that we have after 7 months of dealing with this, it appears that this rapid saliva test might actually be one of the most accurate tests we've had up to this point. So it's kind of a best of both worlds. Not only is it super fast, it might be more accurate than anything else we've had up to this point, which then the question is, how come we're not doing this on college campuses for students, high schools, the community at large, et cetera. And at some point, it's going to move out there, and that's what you're going to see happening if we don't get a vaccine.
Now, my son did a spit test down at KU. Is that a different thing, or is that?
I'd have to see the test, okay. You know, but I'm betting it's probably the same thing, because I think most of these major universities have been acquiring the equipment to do it, A, for sports, but B, also for their general student population.
So if you test positive on the rapid test, you then have to go basically check for a false negative or false positive by doing the swab up the nose.
Yeah, you do the big one then. But like I said, at some point scientifically, even that one might fall by the wayside if the accuracy continues to look as good as it has in kind of some early comparison studies they've done.
So if you're a player, and I don't know how hard these guys have been going, what the workout looked like or what the weight room looked like, you get the news, and then basically the testing regimen, everything, the protocols kick in on September 30th. But now it's like go 100%. I mean, you go from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds here.
See, I don't think so.
You think they've been going at it?
I think this is going to be like a 48-60 is what it's going to be. I think they haven't been able to do full pad practice, but I think they've been doing everything but.
Okay.
They've been continuing with most schools have been doing some fairly intensive conditioning workouts, weightlifting workouts. They've been training for this, and they can do X hours of practice per week. I thought it was like 20 hours a week combined lifting and practice. And so every team's been doing some kind of combination of conditioning and lifting one day, practice the next, et cetera. But that 20 hours is kind of – I consider it sort of halfway generous because you're basically including a game or a scrimmage on Saturday. I mean, if you count that as 6 days, 20 hours is 3.5 hours a day of football, which we would always lift and run on our own when I was in school. Now, you had programs that you used, but you'd practice for 2.5 hours a day, 3 hours a day, and then go lift on your own, and that was considered your own time. But, I mean, we were restricted to that 20-hour-a-week in-season rule when I played, so it's not like that's really any different from what I would consider a normal season hour allotment.
Well, that saves a lot of conditioning time, because that's what a lot of coaches worry about, is getting guys up to condition. I think we learned from Navy, and that is you got to practice in pads. Remember, Navy didn't practice in pads for its first game, and got drilled by BYU, and their coach is like, "Yeah, we can't do that anymore. You have to. Football is football, but you do have. It's the pounding. You got to get. You got to do it.
Well, and some of it is just getting a feel for what you need to do: body position, speed, tempo, timing, et cetera. Of being out there with pads on and hitting people. The other thing is there is a type of connective tissue conditioning that comes from hitting people. I mean, when you're driving into another person full speed in pads, those blows kind of condition a development of your connective tissues. It's, if you think back to high school football going through two-a-days, which I don't even think they do that anymore, but it always, everybody and their dog felt like crap the first 3 days and always went home with a splitting headache. And then once you got past that, you were kind of fine. And it's that conditioning, that connective tissue toughening up, thickening up, getting a little bit more fibrosis there that lends yourself to be able to get through the season without hurting nonstop.
So then the schedule comes out, and Nebraska draws Ohio State, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Penn State, Illinois, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota. The conspiracy theorist will tell you that the Big Ten did this to screw Nebraska. Do you believe that?
Oh, they weren't going to throw us any favors. I think Nebraska, and I think that was what Moose, what he gets blamed for as being the complaining, is that I think he did request, hey, since we're adjusting things here, can we maybe do a little bit of a schedule adjustment? Because this is a really, really tough schedule. And he got told no. So here's my take on it. I mean, okay, first off, it's not – most of the people pointing out, oh, my God, this is a brutal schedule, is national media outlets. I mean, I got pulled up Sporting News here. So this is from a day ago. Nebraska wanted football back, and the Big Ten gave it to the Huskers with a brutal schedule. Okay, so Sporting News is telling us the schedule's brutal. It was. Now, a couple comments on that, at least in my mind. One, and I tweeted about this, I think of those seasons where you'd look at the schedule and it was like Purdue, Indiana, Minnesota, Illinois, Maryland, Rutgers, and you maybe didn't have a really cool non-conference opponent. I mean, it was kind of a bunch of blah non-conference opponents. God, you're looking at that just going like, God, this is about as uninteresting as all get out. I don't want to – I mean, I'm just going to hang in the parking lot, drink beer, and grill bratwurst all afternoon. And so I don't like boring schedules. If you're going to have a schedule, let's get some teams on there that are going to be interesting and fun to watch. And if we get our ass kicked, guess what? We need to get better then. It's sort of the whole steel sharpens steel. If you're not going to get better playing a weak schedule, and you want that tough schedule. And one of the things I tweeted was about my senior year when we played Miami for the national title. in the Orange Bowl, which is their home stadium. And this Miami was a top five team every year at the time. We wanted that draw because we were in again, this is pre-playoffs, pre-BCS even. We wanted that draw. We wanted the tough draw because we were in a poll fight with Penn State for the number one spot in the poll, and whoever had that number one spot going into the bowl game kind of was in the driver's seat. And we knew that if we got that number one ranking, and we knew that, God, it didn't matter what Penn State did. If we ended up winning and beating Miami in Miami, and it didn't have to be Miami, all you needed was a really tough draw, and that was the goal. And we ended up with an probably, in my mind, the toughest draw of them all, getting Miami in the Orange Bowl.
Absolutely. Even with Frank Costa as a quarterback.
The guy wasn't bad. Come on, dude. I love Frank. Anyway, he's a fun Twitter follow if you get the chance. So, if you want to win a national title, you don't want that easy road. You want the tough run is what you're looking for. And it's not like Nebraska's gunning for a national title this year.
No.
But if you want to measure yourself, you want to see where you're at, this is the schedule you want.
Now, wasn't on, and I'm sorry, my memory's horrible, but wasn't Ohio State and Penn State on Nebraska's schedule anyway?
Well, and that's the thing, too. It's like, we already had to play Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Our cross divisional games this year were Penn State and Ohio State. Like I said, I could be wrong on that. I'll double check that, but I'm 99% sure this was basically our conference lineup. Now, the order of them would be nice to sneak Illinois in between a couple of those games, but
yeah,
it's who you were going to play anyway. Now, here's the other thing. Let's say we lose a bunch of games due to COVID. Again, I'd rather have those really tough opponents. Let's get those guys played right up front before people start testing positive. Because, again, you're going to have guys test positive. You're going to lose a game or two at least. We are seeing that at most levels, and it's a luck of the draw if you manage to avoid it. But let's get out there and play let's play the Ohio States and the Penn States right off the bat. I'm a little.
You know what people are really just pissed off about is that they can't go watch Ohio State and Penn State, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you'd be super excited to go to the Horseshoe. You'd be super excited to see Penn State. You're mad because now you're like, well, I got to watch this on television. I'd rather be there.
Yeah. Wherever it's at, whether it's
because they're the
home or away, you'd rather be there.
Because those are the best programs in the conference right now.
And those are the games, those are the teams you want to go see in person. Nobody gives a rat's ass about going and watching Rutgers in person.
No.
I mean, maybe to see what their helmets look like. Are they going to go with the shiny chrome ones or not? We don't know. But it's like when that's the most interesting thing that you're looking at, man, that's sad. I want the fact that the game's interesting because it's Penn State and they're a damn good team. I want because it's Ohio State and I'm going to go watch a bunch of NFL guys. I want to see how we stack up against a bunch of surefire NFL guys. Let's go check that out. The Iowa game is interesting because, call it a rivalry or not, but the Iowa game's interesting because Iowa has good football players who go to the NFL.
Yeah, they'll have a new quarterback this year, which would be interesting to watch. Yeah. And I think that's actually in Nebraska will get better, I would presume or assume, as the season goes along.
Iowa's still got a great – I mean, even with the losses they had, still going to have a great O-line. Yeah. They're going to have a really solid running game.
Yeah.
It is not going to be bad.
But you know what I do like about it? I know it's not Black Friday, but it's still on that Thanksgiving weekend. They're putting Iowa and Nebraska together, and that's pretty cool.
I'll take it. I thought I kind of appreciated that. If the Big Ten screwed Nebraska, it was purely in the sense of that they came out and trotted out, hey, here's the conference schedule you essentially had already.
Did this beer go bad? Is yours okay?
I don't know. Can beer go bad?
Well,
do we even say where we got it?
Well, so we just went into the fridge and we got a raspberry Hef from Brickway, but mine's not very good.
When did you get this? We should check it. Does it have a born-on date?
I think we got it like 2 months ago. It shouldn't be bad after 2 months, but mine's not good.
It's not the best.
It's not the best.
It's not the best, which no. I usually do like Brickway.
It happens. I mean, you're going to get a bad batch, right?
Which, I mean, it's a raspberry Hef. I mean, that's a specialty run.
That's bad.
Yeah, you kind of want to go with something that...
I got some El Squacho in there we'll grab after we're done.
We'll do that. Yeah. That'll be good. I'm going to finish this one just because I want to see if it makes me sick or not. I'm going to test the...
I'm not
test
finishing
my theory.
Mine.
I'm going to test the fact that the alcohol content will keep me safe.
I don't have... It's like that old Keystone commercial, right? The bitter beer face. Ooh, that tastes
Brickway,
like...
not using the specialty line cans.
Ooh, they're not... I don't know what can they're using, but this is not good.
Here, I'll crack up, open another, and maybe it was just we got a couple of bad cans there. Yours fizzed impressively when you opened
but
that.
It shouldn't have fizzed when it opened, though, should have it?
Oh, it definitely can.
I know, but I didn't shake it.
Okay, well, this is, August 23rd.
Is that like when you're supposed to drink it by?
Well, I don't know. I'm assuming that's when it got canned.
8/23/2022. I mean, I think that's what they're saying you need to drink it by.
Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, it does say that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, shit, we got 2 years.
Well, that's not very good.
Still beer.
I know, but... Oh, I thought we were going to share. No?
I'm testing.
You're testing? To see, now I can't drink it.
Okay, so now this... Yeah, because you don't want to get COVID. This one's pretty good. So this one, this one, not much raspberry, but it's definitely a Hef. I mean...
Huh.
Although here's the thing, though, too, you kind of gotta like Hefeweizens. I mean, you gotta be a wheat beer guy, and in truth, I'm not a big wheat beer guy, just not.
A lot of gluten in there, right?
That thing is freaking loaded with gluten. I know a couple of people who have actually not a gluten allergy, but they are allergic to wheat products. They cannot drink wheat beer. Like, it'll get, there's enough wheat in there that it'll get them.
Really?
Yeah, they'll start getting blotchy, getting hives, getting a big histamine reaction from it.
God, I'm glad you got a good one finally. But
well, there's one left here.
You want to open it and I'll have a drink of it?
Here, you give this one a try. Here, I'm going to let you open it, Fizz Boy.
Yeah, if it starts fizzing, we'll know that it's bad.
I mean, keep in mind, this is coming from a guy who considers White Claws a legitimate alcoholic
beverage. Get off
beverage.
My ass about the White Claws, all right? I don't know why I've...
Hey, just because you're the one who decided to go and grow a vagina?
That's fizzing a little bit.
That's not bad, though.
Not like the other one. But, yeah, I've started, on some of the golf outings, I started with the Bud Light Seltzers. I like the Bud Light Seltzers a lot better than the White Claws, but sometimes they don't sell the Bud Light Seltzer.
Do you know what I drink when I go golfing?
Beer?
Beer.
I know, but sometimes when it's like 100 degrees and hot, it just doesn't seem...
Light beer.
I know.
That's what Coors Light was invented for.
You know, some say that the fact that you told me to grow a vagina would be a sexist statement to make, right?
It was a little bit.
That's what I like about you. I think it was, who was it was saying? It was my buddy Tony, who was...
I know Tony.
Yeah.
Tony's a good guy.
Tony's a great dude.
Tony would be bagging on you.
He would
be. Or is he drinking White Claws?
No, I don't think he drinks the White Claws.
That's because he's normal.
But, you know, and I'm not saying we're stand-up comics, but he was telling me a story about Joe Rogan, and the Rogan podcast has now moved to Spotify and all this other stuff. But Rogan has said, in today's politically correct climate, that comedy... is now like edgy again, where because people want you to be nice and people want you not to say certain things that, you know, comedy can be daring again, like, oh my God, what's this guy gonna say, and
yeah,
is he gonna get canceled? And
that's kind of the whole Dave Chappelle argument.
Yeah, I mean, if it's funny's funny, right? I
think so.
But Rob, at the end of the day, if you laugh in private but won't laugh in public, you're just a hypocrite.
I agree. We're gonna call that Grand Island comedy.
See, that's funny right there.
I think it is.
That's funny. You know, funny's, I don't take everything literally, I guess. I look at it and go, oh, that's funny. I see the joke in that.
Exactly.
People need to laugh more.
Yeah, there's everybody's so damn uptight about stuff. So speaking of uptight, give me Iowa's schedule.
So this is the Iowa schedule. They open up with Purdue, Northwestern, Michigan State Spartans.
I was going to say Northwestern can be a thorn in anybody's side, especially Nebraska and Iowa.
Then Michigan State, then Minnesota.
I was kind of a little tongue-in-cheek earlier about Minnesota. I still think they're going to be a really good team. That's another team that I feel it's kind of interesting because I think the coach, I think Fleck, his staff, and the players really wanted to play this year. And I think the administration was like, no, hell no. And not only hell no, we don't want to hear you talking about this. Go make pizza commercials.
Hold that thought and remind me of that. That's his pizza commercial.
Pizza commercial part or just the thing about Fleck in general?
And then Iowa's got, after Minnesota, has Penn State, Nebraska, Illinois, and Wisconsin.
So Penn State, Nebraska. So, I mean, that's three out of four. And I'm calling Nebraska one of the three out of the four there. So they got three out of four tough ones at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Lovie
Smith and Illinois was playing better. I mean, I don't know how good they're going to be.
I'll give you that. So Illinois could be dangerous. And here's the other thing. Nebraska's nearly knocked off Iowa 3 years in a row. It hasn't been just a complete run of blowouts the last two or 3 years. It's been close games. Well, the last two have been close games where Nebraska's nearly come back to knock them off. So if you're Iowa, I'm leery as hell of Nebraska because Nebraska's been a handful of plays from upsetting you the last couple of years. And it would have been an upset. I'm fully owning that. Iowa's had some very, very good football teams the last few years. But Nebraska's been a thorn in their side. And so I think that's not a gimme. That's not a pushover. That's not a Rutgers. That's not a Maryland game. So there's at least three out of four. And if Illinois continues to improve like we saw last year, that is not the friendliest run for Iowa to finish the season right there. It's not the glaring one that you look at like Nebraska where it's Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State, where you really are like, holy shit. But that's a solid run that Iowa's finishing with. That's a tough end of the season. And here's the other thing. If I'm going to have a really tough run, God, I want it at the start of the year. Guys are healthy. Guys are in shape. You're ready to go. And you're hoping that the opponent maybe isn't clicking on all cylinders yet. Maybe their timing's not quite there. And that, I mean, so if I'm a coach and I'm looking at an opponent or at a schedule and you got a really tough run like that, I'll take Nebraska's run at the beginning of the year as opposed to Iowa's run at the end of the year. You've lost some guys to injuries. You're worn out. You're a little tired. You're a little banged up. You've got just sort of kind of a little bit of a generalized injury fatigue there at the end of the season. If I'm Iowa, that worries me a little bit, especially because if you win the division and you're looking at which is a very real possibility, and you're looking at a Big Ten title game, the last thing I want is that end of the season that Iowa currently has. If Nebraska's got room to bitch and moan, Iowa's got room to bitch and moan about the way the end of their schedule finishes up.
Penn State, Nebraska, Illinois, Wisconsin. Yeah, I mean, really, and you go Minnesota, Penn State, Nebraska, Illinois, Wisconsin. It's just the difference is one is at Ohio State, right? I mean,
I think it was that opening game at Ohio State, which I got to be honest is, dude, right now Nebraska fans and Ohio State fans are having like an absolute social media love fest.
It's almost sickening.
It is, I think those were the two schools that were the loudest in bitching and moaning about this. And nobody will call Ohio State out on it, which saying call them out on it, I think, is not the best way to phrase it because these schools needed to do this with the Big Ten Conference. But nobody from a national media standpoint is calling out Ohio State on it because Ohio State's been an incredibly good team. If Nebraska was winning – conference titles left and right like they were in the 1990s, and this was happening, nobody would be upset with Nebraska, at least not in the degree to which they are.
I just figured out this Raspberry Half, what we should have done. We should have started with the Raspberry Half and then gone to the
Sour. And then cleansed our palate.
Yeah, because the Sour, the Super Sour, and then going to the Half and that wheat, I think that's where the taste is coming in.
That might be it.
Back to what you brought up about, you piqued my interest on something, and I'm going to ask it this way, is that, you know, you have Jim Harbaugh that marched with his team to the president's office. You have Ryan Day who spoke out, but his administration was on his side.
Yeah, they were like Nebraska, top to bottom, Ohio State was
so
all on board.
Let's say P.J. Fleck was silenced by his administration.
Oh, but he was.
So when the dust settles, right, when the dust settles a little bit, do you think, and I'm not just talking to the Big Ten, I'm talking other entities, Pac-12, it could even be the Big 12. Do you think there is some movement where coaches go, you know what, and athletic directors who say, my administration did not have my back. My administration used athletics as a pawn, did not, and you see coaches move, you see athletic directors move because they didn't like the way this all went down.
I could see that happening. You could take it a step further, and I'll get to that in a second, but I could see a guy like Fleck where he's sitting there going, okay, you know what? I got Minnesota playing good football right now. What could I do at somewhere in the South? Missouri, Arkansas would be kind of the lower tier, but like a Mississippi State, an Ole Miss.
Those two schools are loaded for – I mean, you have Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin.
Well, yeah, no, that's true.
But how about USC?
Yeah,
if what's his name? He used to be at Ohio State. What's his name? I forget.
Oh, is it Craig?
No, who used to be the coach at Ohio State?
Urban Meyer.
Yes. Oh my God.
If Urban doesn't take it. I thought you were about the guy who's.
I just totally had a brain fart.
The guy who's currently at USC.
No. Well, Helton's working on borrowed time, but
he's been on like a freaking 5-year hot seat run here.
If Urban Meyer doesn't take the job, does PJ Fleck go, you know, I'm going to go to USC? I think there was a lot of tension that we'll never know about between administrators.
So here's the thing. When you look at P.J. Fleck, the guy looks like he's always on. He looks like he's good in front of the camera.
People like that scare me, by the way.
But he had a press conference, and it was after the Big Ten ended the season, and it was after all the hubbub with Nebraska, Scott Frost, Bill Moose, everybody was bitching and moaning about Nebraska. And Minnesota's president released a statement where basically she said, hey, this was a very genuine and layered process where everybody came together and had this unanimous decision, and we sang Kumbaya, and thank goodness for the Big Ten Conference. And they did, I can't remember who it was, but somebody did an interview with P.J. Fleck, and I swear to God, he looked like he was coming off of like a 3-day bender. I mean, eyes sunk.
Red eyes, right?
I mean, eyes were red, black bags under. It was the black bags under his eyes. I mean, the guy just looked beat down. And I think this was a guy who had gone to bat for his team to play football for several days nonstop, and he basically lost like a 12-round prize fight against his own administration and got completely shot down. And he came out and he gave this, what I thought sounded like this completely non-genuine, made up, totally scripted press conference. And I think it was the one where he talked about like the 30 for 30, like, yeah, like, what did they say? We polled like 30 of our players to see what their thoughts were. 30 out of 30 of them were in agreement with the Big Ten's decision. Which, I mean, it's just like, no, that's totally made up. You're not fooling anybody. But I think he was completely told by his administration, here's what you're going to do. You're going to have this press conference. Here's what you're going to say. And I think he was just like choking on the words to get them out. And I think it like totally broke his spirit. But yeah, he's the guy I think would leave. Now, the other thing in terms of taking a step further, there's more than a few guys that I've spoken with who think the whole idea of teams leaving conferences to form like some kind of major football power conference outside of the NCAA comes to pass sooner than later. Where you would actually see like a Michigan, Ohio State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Penn State say, F it, we're dissolving the Big Ten and leaving. And goes and forms a super conference for football, joins up with everybody from the SEC with the exception of Vanderbilt, and let's get all the ACC schools except I don't know who sucks in the ACC because nobody watches ACC football around here.
Florida State.
Florida State. We watch Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech, and Clemson. But, I mean, like everybody except maybe Duke, for instance, and so on and so forth. But basically puts together sort of a like a super conference for a football national title.
Shit, I think that's going to happen eventually anyway.
No, I do, but I think this pushes it along faster. And there's been a few media people who I've spoken with who think it does happen sooner than later for no reason other than the fact that people are so pissed about this. And you're going to have coaches and ADs who are basically like, you know what, screw it. You want to go pretend that you're the Harvard of the Midwest? Fine, we're going to go play football.
So you mentioned Tallahassee. Mike Norvell just tested positive for the Rona. You were just in Tallahassee. Do you worry when you go on the road like that?
It depends. So, I mean, when we were there, I mean, we did a pretty good job, pretty darn good job social distancing, mask wearing, things like that. At the same time, whenever I travel like that, you're kind of looking at what's the local scene as far as COVID goes.
Yeah.
Now, you've got a college campus. They've had a big increase in cases on campus.
But isn't that okay? I mean, for the most part, this is where people think I'm so damn insensitive. I'd rather have my kids get it than like me or you because they're...
Oh, I agree in that. I mean, if you're going to call it out that way, yes. I'd rather have my kid get it than my mom.
Because I bet there's like
it.
Zero hospitalizations between students down there.
They have had very low hospitalization rates from it within that age group. Now, you do have some young people who get it and get deathly, deathly ill.
I get it.
But it's still the minority by far.
Yes.
And so, well, okay, hey, look at LSU's football team. I mean, they had what?
Go Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, they had what? Something. What did?
Well, he said, like the majority of the team has already had it.
He said, like, 75 guys have had it.
Yeah, the whole team's already had it. Go Tigers.
Which I think Clemson had the same thing. I would not be surprised if it was mildly deliberate that those teams did it as sort of a, hey, we're going to get everybody to get it, and we're going to have a couple months of mild immunity against getting it again.
It's not a bad idea, is it?
I mean, I'm just
do your
saying,
own herd immunity, basically?
Which what'll be interesting to see is what we need to do is get those guys. Somebody needs to get their ass down to Baton Rouge and cardiac MRI the entire LSU football team. And I say that seriously.
Yeah.
And let's see what it looks like. I mean, what kind of results are you going to get? And on top of that, what kind of performance are you currently seeing out of the 75 guys or whatever the number is? Of the guys who've had it, are they having issues?
My daughter, Mary, was on the LSU campus last week, and she sent me – she was right by the stadium, cool-looking stadium. Then she sent me a picture of the Bengal tiger that's just behind some cage outside the stadium.
It just hangs out
Just hangs out there. Just keeps a tiger right there.
There you go.
Live mascots are the best, by the way. I like live mascots.
I kind of do, too. The whole Ralphie Buffalo thing, I was annoyed the hell out of me.
I get it.
But I think that was more because I hated Colorado. But
so what'd you do in Tallahassee? I mean, you were floating in the Gulf of Mexico. Was the water warm? Because they just had, like, Sally,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so Sally came through. It hit mostly to the kind of west. Yeah,
Alabama west, got its ass
Yeah, so west of where we were at in the Florida Panhandle. So, yeah, so, like, Gulf Shores, Alabama got just manhandled. Pensacola got hit hard. We talked to a few people from that area while we were down there, and kind of the consensus was you compare to Hurricane Michael a few years ago.
Yeah.
That was 2018. Hurricane Michael came with once in a hundred year level winds. I mean, it was brutal winds and rain. People said this did have a lot of damaging winds. It's a hurricane. It's going to have damaging winds. They said this one was more than anything, though, ton of rain.
Flooding.
A lot of storm surge and tons of flooding. They said the flooding was the major issue with this one, as opposed to the wind as well. So
the interesting part about this is, and I'm starting to think like hurricanes must be like blizzards. And this is my rationale here.
It's an ocean blizzard.
Well, it kind of is because, okay, my daughter Mary lives in New Orleans, right? So for two of the four storms that have gone through, they've said, batten the hatches down, get the hell out of Dodge, we're closing school. And that's like 2 days out, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like what we do with blizzards. Oh, my God. Well, neither
go
one.
Go buy all the bread from Hy-Vee now.
So for both of those hurricanes, all of a sudden Mother Nature said, well, we're going to send this thing somewhere else and it's not going to come. So both times, nothing, you know?
So New Orleans kind of was spared by Sally.
You say, well, Sally, on the initial track, Sally was coming straight for
New Orleans. See, that's what it looked like.
And then it did a cha-cha in the Gulf of Mexico and went back up towards Alabama. I mean, it was really weird.
Yeah, it hit Alabama and a little bit of the Florida panhandle.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was just everybody told us we didn't see much damage. I mean, there was some, but not a lot. But, I mean, there are a lot of people we talked to were like, yeah, I mean, house was fine, but the yard was flooded for a day. And then the farther west you got along the Florida Panhandle, you did get some pretty darn impressive flooding.
My oldest daughter, Abigail, works at Ole Miss. And
she used to, she's a Loyola New Orleans grad.
Yeah, she's
a grad
of Loyola New Orleans. Now she lives in Oxford, Mississippi. She works for the University of Mississippi. But she's like, Dad, it's funny down here because you watch. She goes, you know, when hurricanes come, they always say, hurricane is going to hit somewhere between, New Orleans and the land mass between New Orleans and Mobile. Well, that's Mississippi. They don't call it Mississippi. They call it the landmass in between Mobile and New Orleans.
So did they have much? I mean, when it cut north it kind of angled back east, so Mississippi kind of got spared a bit.
Yeah, well, a little bit, but not. I mean, do you remember Greg Peterson used to be on Channel 3 with me?
Yeah.
He sent me some photos because he's on television down in Mobile now. That place got fucking destroyed.
Mobile.
Oh, buddy. Ooh. I mean, bad. Just bad.
Which sucks. I mean,
you
hate to see that happen to any community.
Yeah, because you know it's... I guess, what's worse, right? A tornado that just drops on you and destroys everything, or a hurricane where you know it's coming, and you literally can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it.
Well, I would say the benefit of knowing, even if
that
you
get to
leave,
anything,
you can get the hell out of Dodge if you need to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm glad you had a safe trip, and I'm sure your wife...
trip was good, and again, you mentioned the COVID thing.
Have you been tested yet?
I have not, but I haven't had symptoms to suggest it, and
I
do a temperature check every day, which is, again, it's a little plus minus. It's not 100%, so at some point I might have been an asymptomatic positive. I don't know. If I was, I'd be a super spreader because I work in a hospital and I'm seeing 30 people a day.
I read something from the CDC, and you tell me if I'm off my rocker, where they came out with like, you know, even though you test positive, you may not be a spreader at that. You're not. There reaches a point where you're positive, but you're not a spreader.
Yeah, and it depends. At some point, you're probably shedding some virus. But it's how much and at what point in the process. Now, the other thing is that I always kind of point out about where my daughter's at with Tallahassee or it's Leon County.
And if you're
County,
wondering
Florida.
If our kids don't like us and they go really far away, the answer is yes, they don't like us.
Oh shit! I think my daughter just doesn't like the weather in Nebraska.
You know what's funny is that my daughter, Mary, and I hate to. You were talking about your daughter. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
that.
She just doesn't like the weather. That's all I was going
to
say.
I don't think Mary. Really wanted to go to New Orleans. I don't think she was that fired up. Now she...
I thought she loved it
No,
there.
She wanted to go to Seton Hall.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about Mary.
Abigail loved New Orleans.
Okay.
Mary wasn't that fired up about following her sister.
Why did she want to go to New Jersey?
I think she was.
Was she in whole New Jersey?
Yes, it is. I think she wanted, because it was close to New York. I think she really wanted to be in New York City.
Which I love New York City, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But now that she's in New Orleans, I think she likes it a lot.
She's going to like it.
Yeah. I think she's starting to go, oh, this place is pretty cool.
It is.
It is.
It's a great city. No, but the thing about Tallahassee and Leon County, Florida, I'd have to double check because I haven't looked for a few weeks. Almost through this entire process, lower COVID cases and lower overall incidence rate than Omaha and Douglas County. So technically, I go to Florida State.
And you're safer.
I'm safer than if I just hang out stay here in Omaha.
So I've been to Jacksonville. I've been to Orlando. I've been to Miami. Is Tallahassee like redneck like Jacksonville? Because Jacksonville is redneck,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, so, you know, if you haven't spent a lot here, I'm moving the microphone here a bit. I can hear some clanging.
I
got to
get you
banging,
something like mine so you can't hear the springs.
You've got the nice microphone.
I do.
So, Florida.
Yeah.
Florida, there's two Floridas. There's Miami.
Yes.
Which is basically everything you go about.
It's 40, like it's Cuba.
It is. You go about 40 miles south of Orlando. That's Miami.
Yes.
It's Miami or Key West or the Sanibel Captiva scene, which is sort of like Key West light. That's South Florida, and that's what everybody thinks of. Man, you go from that point, which is basically if you're cutting the peninsula off about halfway, everything north is that's not Florida.
It's redneck.
That's southern Georgia is what that is. That's south Georgia.
I'll never forget. So it would have been Bo Pelini's first year. They were in the Gator Bowl.
Oh, yeah, against Georgia.
No, Clemson.
You're right, the Clemson game.
Yeah, and then I'm like, hey, we're going to Florida. We're going to Jacksonville. I've never been there, right? I'm like, yeah, we're going to Florida. I get a good, you know, just get away. I land in Jacksonville. I'm like, this ain't Florida.
Yeah, it is. It's the South.
It's the South.
Yeah, the entire northern 60% of Florida is the South.
And for those of you who've been there, you're going, yep, I could have told you that. For those of you that haven't been there, if you want the Miami experience, then
you need to get your butt all the way down there.
Yeah, you gotta go to Miami.
That's just the tip.
If you want the Florida Georgia line, Jacksonville and Tallahassee and Pensacola.
So my daughter, never been a country music person.
Is she spinning the country tunes now?
Oh my God. Yeah, she's got her playlist that she listens to.
She eat meat yet?
She's got she does eat seafood.
Okay. It's close
does
enough.
Eat seafood. She's getting close, which I love seafood too, but so she hasn't converted wholly over to beef yet, but she will eat all the seafood you can put in front of her. But yeah, she's got a playlist. She calls it her Yeehaw playlist. And I bet that's what she plays about two-thirds of the time. But, yeah, it's the South. I mean, it really is. Yeah. I mean, it's cowboy hats. And
the funny thing is people would think New Orleans is, like, South.
New Orleans is not
it's
the
not.
South.
Now, Baton Rouge is.
Yeah.
But in a different way. It's not Mississippi. It's not out. Baton Rouge,
Louisiana is its own thing. Yeah, that is a different place.
Yeah, you're right.
The whole state is.
But New Orleans is a lot different from the rest of the state, culturally.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, New Orleans is not the South.
No. That's why I like going there.
Oxford's
the most liberal city in Mississippi. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I'd say Lincoln's the most liberal city in Nebraska. So, I'm not sure what I was saying by saying that.
I don't know if I told this on the last podcast or not. We were in Oxford. We moved Mary down to New Orleans. We stayed a lot of time in Oxford just because it was some time to spend with Abigail. And they moved the Confederate statue on campus to the Confederate cemetery.
Okay.
Okay, it was a privately done. Well, with private money, they end up giving the statue a much bigger. I mean, so they raised it up like 40 feet, and it was like over.
It's like a giant FU to liberalism.
Yeah, so they put it, but it's in the Confederate cemetery, and so.
Which I'm fine with that. You lost the war. You got to go hang out in this Confederate
now,
cemetery.
In the square in Oxford, which is beautiful, there is a Confederate soldier. It's an unnamed one. It's just because the Civil War was fought there, right?
It was there.
Yeah. So I go to, and then you go in, and it's Jefferson Davis Boulevard. So I go to Abigail. I go, so have they voted to change this? You know, are they going to change Jefferson Davis Boulevard? Are they going to take the soldier out of the square? And they, she said, the city council voted unanimously not to vote on the subject. Which means, no, they're not moving anything.
That is a full-on Pontius Pilate. We're going to wash our hands of this maneuver.
We're not going to touch this. Yeah. Yes.
Which it is interesting, because if you look at Florida State, which I will say again, Florida State is a southern school. It's not a Florida school. It's a southern school. And they've had a couple of statues that they have removed. I mean, one of them was, to some degree, a benefactor of the university. He had been credited for some period of time as being one of the founders of the university. A bunch of people did a whole lot of research and realized not necessarily true. He really didn't have any role in founding the university. At some point, he had given some money. Now, when I say at some point, I'm talking like 1857. But he had a statue on campus, and that got moved. So, but he was a slave owner.
So was Jefferson. Are we going to get rid of the Jefferson Memorial? The answer is no.
The guy was the president of, like, the largest insurrection in American history. The guy was a traitor. Sorry, I'm a northerner. I was born in Michigan, dude. There's like a little northern inbreeding here with me, where it's sort of one of these, like.
So what Rob is saying is that Gerald Ford is his favorite president.
Like, you
born in Nebraska, raised in Michigan.
Hey, Gerald Ford was not bad. Better than Carter. Come on.
Oh, now you're gonna get now.
Just because Carter's still alive and Jerry's dead.
Oh, my goodness.
Guess who played football in college?
Yeah, he played the center position at the University of Michigan. And that's why Dave Remington has the Ford Legends Award, which is named after somebody who, you know.
Jimmy Carter, not winning it.
No. But we want to thank, you know, I haven't talked to Dave Remington for a while. I presume he still listens to this podcast. But you know what? It's been a tough go for these nonprofits out there, man. It still is. And I felt so sorry for Chad Carr from Ticket Express. You see a season's coming back, and they say no fans.
That was brutal.
Yeah, Chad.
Yeah, you can thank Minnesota, Maryland, and Rutgers for that maneuver.
Chad called me, and I didn't pick it up because I was busy doing stuff. I haven't called him back. Chad, just so you know, I'm thinking about you. I promise I'll return your phone call. Infusion Brewing Company. I learned today that I need to be drinking Infusion all the time because it's consistent, it's good, and they've been with us. And Scotty from Husker Hounds, you see, as soon as they announced the season, he went out and put this big, like, inflatable big boy out in front of us.
Oh, I missed it.
That was
nice.
That was awesome. So as the season gets going, make sure to go get your Husker gear at Husker Hounds. Follow Dr. Rob on Twitter at Doc Talk Sports. That's at Doc Talk Sports, because Dr. Rob's awesome. And you're picking up, like, thousands by the week here.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, I've been a little active on Twitter.
You have been. You've been on, you know, it's now I go to work at MCL Construction and be like, man, did you see what Rob said today? I'm like, damn, Rob's on fire. All right, we're going to be back. You know what? Hey, we got a season to talk about. We won't wait, you know, until the 24th to record. We're going to go drink some more beer. Share this podcast with your friends. Support the Remington Trophy and the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Support Infusion Brewing Company. Support Husker Max, who helps distribute this. Support Husker Hounds. Support Ticket Express when Chad can sell tickets again. We'll be back. And if you have any questions, doctalksports@gmail.com. That's doctalksports@gmail.com. For Dr. Rob Zaniska, I'm Travis Justice. We'll talk to you next time on the Husker Doc Talk podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy.